First, I want to say thank you for my sister Peggy giving out the word this past Sunday. It was a blessing. I don't think she knows who she is yet, but we'll let the Lord deal with that. How many of you were blessed? Yeah, go ahead. It's a clap offering. You know why? Because there's a price tag that goes with this little job that God uses different people to use. And that price tag is that, you know, you question yourself, you wonder if you're sane, all that good stuff. And you wonder if I'm going to make a mistake, and all that also is part of it. But I can tell you this, our God is faithful. So this morning I'd like to first of all acknowledge those of you who are listening on the internet, that the same Holy Spirit, the same Jesus that's in me and that is in this room, is in you. As you have accepted Him to be the Lord and Savior and Deliverer of all that you are and all that God plans for you, is in the days ahead. I want to thank the Lord for the traveling mercies, the prayers of the saints that prayed for me up and back. I can only tell you that it was very different and very sweet. So this morning I asked the Lord what His intent was, and I heard one thing, which was Romans chapter 1. So I'd like to take you with me to Romans chapter 1. St. Paul is writing to the Romans, and while you're going there, I'd like to give you a little bit of information. So, this is what it said. A man and his wife were having an argument about who should brew the coffee each morning. The wife said, "You should do it because you get up first. And then we don't have to wait as long to get our coffee." The husband said, "You are in charge of the cooking around here, and you should do it, because that is your job." And I, wait a minute.
That was hard. Overflowing the mouth.
Oh, really? Because that is your job. And I can just wait for my coffee. The wife replies, "No, you should do it. And besides, it is in the Bible that the man should do the coffee." The husband replies, "I can't believe that. Show me." So she fetched the Bible, opened it to the New Testament, and showed him at the top of several pages. "See, it indeed says he brews." I couldn't resist that this morning. So it's he brews, not she brews. Isn't that neat? So you gentlemen, do your job. Hebrews. Romans chapter 1. St. Paul is writing, and he really is trying to push a few buttons. And the word that I'd like to kind of press into you is verse 16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith." Notice it's not by works. "It is a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The righteous will live by faith. Even the righteousness that you and I have is a gift of faith, to receive it and to accept it. It is not a works program where you get yourself all polished up, look good, and Sunday morning is here and now you're holy. And the rest of the week you go off and do all the other unholy things. How many find themselves in a religious pattern periodically. Sunday is different. Monday is different. Tuesday is different again. Tuesday night might be a little more different, etc. When I was reading this, I kept saying, Lord, how does this apply to give victory? How is this going to change me and those that are with me? And he reminded me that it's a work of faith, but it's a work of faith as we give. I got a telephone call from Trinidad yesterday. And our young Ryan made a very odd statement. We had quite a bit of time and we talked and we chit-chatted about all the good things. And if you don't remember him, he's that tall young black man that visited us last summer. And the doors have swung open. He will be attending Pinecrest in the fall. And he's very excited. And we had a great time. But he made a comment. After we prayed, he said, I want you to know that I often pray for Springfield. And I said, okay. He says, no, you don't understand. I said, well, educate me. And you know, with his little accent, he says, well, you're different. And I thought, okay. And he's not talking about me, he's talking about the church. Then he says, well, I want to really say that differently. He says, you're one of a kind. I said, oh. He says, one of a kind, different, intended of God to be different. Why? Does God need another Episcopal church, another Roman church, another evangelical church? No. What did he need? Someone that will walk in obedience to his spirit, and no matter what the price is, you go forward by choice. So would you look at a neighbor and say, you're different? That's why God chose you to be here. Tell another neighbor, you're also different. That's why God chose you to be different. You don't fit anywhere else. You fit here. And we're glad you're here. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed. Come on, keep looking. Of the gospel. Because of its power. And its salvation. For everyone who believes. That includes me and you. Amen. Are you catching on? And it's the work of faith that produces this. Now, I'm glad Marianne has a banner, because this morning, you know, she was back there and she was celebrating the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we do things in obedience and we just, after it's done, you say, oh my God, why did that come out? Amen? Why did that come out? Well, the Holy Spirit is diversified. He does things differently. Last Sunday night, I was in Canada, just over the border, and all of a sudden, I find myself discussing something that I have not talked about ever to anybody publicly. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, Lord, you're really wanting me to open this up. And it happened in 1979 or 80, I'm not sure, close, but not positive. And so now this is going to be my opening statement, which doesn't make any sense. And what does God tell me to begin to talk about Mr. Pentecost? David Duplessis out of South Africa was the only gentleman that was not Roman Catholic that attended Vatican II. And so I'm expounding on this, and I'm giving what God has done with me when I met this man in Ware, Massachusetts. And I met him, and he gave something to me that literally shook every part of me that was, I thought, pretty stable, and made me see how little I am, how small I am, yet how God has a plan for each of us. I probably felt like Sam or smaller. And that's not a thing. It's just an emotion I had. I didn't think of myself as anything or anyone. I felt like a little child. And that's why I'm picking on you, Sam. But you know, you can be 6 feet tall and feel 3 feet high, even though Sam is a lot taller than that. Do you understand? How many know what I'm talking about? Thank you. So I'm standing in the midst of this man, and he does something, and I shared this last Sunday night. And after the service, the pastors, there were two, and they both looked at me and they said, well, we also met this same gentleman in the same time slot when he was at the other end of the state, and we thought we would never recover. Because that same gentleman, Mr. Pentecost, preached in some kind of a little church where they were from, at the other end of Massachusetts, and he preached for 4 hours. And he said he changed our lives. Now, how would the Holy Ghost know that? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I was stretching to give out this piece of information because it was very personal. And I didn't expect to go there. But you see, I stretched and obeyed. And that gospel was actually a little something that happened to me over 20 years ago. There are things that have happened to you that if God has invested in you, and it will bring life to someone else when you decide to obey Him and He reveals for you to release it. How many have had that happen before? Thank you. And you do it by faith. You don't do it because it's a good idea or it feels good. You just give. And as you give, the Holy Spirit takes a hold of what is important and touches the individuals that He chooses. Now, He happened to touch the pastor. She happened to be female. Her name is Pastor Shirley. And the room we were in was about double this size. And the Lord told me to let them smell the anointing oil that we were given for the Passover feast. And the word was, pass over from what you were to what you will be, and take a sniff of this. So we had a sniffing party Sunday night. Not cocaine. Holy Ghost oil. Well, this wonderful pastor lady, of course, was ready to take in, and I did not touch them with the oil. The Lord didn't say to. So all they did was take it in, and out she went like a light bulb on the floor. And her words to me after she got up an hour later is, I was pinned to the floor like I was in Toronto. What did you do to me? And I said, nothing. But He did it all. I didn't even touch you. But God is working on His people to transform them from what they were to what they need to be. Now I want you to go to Galatians chapter 2, because that was the second word He gave. Galatians chapter 2. St. Paul is again, in verse 1 he kind of stretches it. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. And all the brothers with me. Galatians 1:1. So, why did he send me to Canada? Because there's some work to be done there. I had had a discussion a couple of weeks before with this pastor lady. And she's sharing with me some of the things that have happened to her as she was pressed to pray for her family a while back, and something happened, and out of that happening, God has transformed a part of her life and irritated her because her expectations did not happen. How many know your expectations can be squished? Squished, erased, pushed, shoved down. And so we shared some of this and about our heritage and why God does what he wants with us, where he actually had us be born. So I learned that Pastor Shirley was born in that same area where she now has a church. And she was of Roman Catholic background, very similar to myself. And God literally used Mr. Pentecost to irritate her. But when you're Roman Catholic, you think you're the only one that's going to heaven. And so that's what she also believed, until the Lord decided to change her attitude and her heart. And I'm not picking on Romans now, but I was one of them. Okay? And I had very similar thoughts. Were they God? I believe they were at the time. I had a very, let's say, hunger to serve what I believed was right. And the Lord let me know that a little piece at a time, that there were a lot of others out there. And like St. Paul, I wanted my God to be recognized. I would defend him with my life and all that I knew, and defending what I believed was his plan for me. Didn't expect that he would crash in on my expectations. In verse 15, chapter 2. Verse 15, chapter 2. We who were Jews by birth, not Gentiles, sinners. Notice the attitude. We who were Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith. Well, in the Roman church, I believed that all the laws and regulations should be kept to a T, and obviously I lived in guilt because I couldn't keep them. I couldn't do it. Now, if you come from a different background and it wasn't quite as legalistic, well, then pray for those that are stuck in those places. And I mean that, stuck. Because that's where I was, that's where I lived. I didn't understand the justification by faith. I didn't believe that I could walk in freedom as I do today and still be a part of the family of God. So, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Now that is hard to swallow. That is hard to swallow because it is very, very clear. Now, if somebody's got the Amplified on this, maybe Peggy, could you release that verse, please?
The whole verse?
Yeah.
Yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteous and in right standing with God, not by works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, even we ourselves have believed on Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for we cannot be justified by any observance of the ritual of the law given by Moses, because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human being can ever be justified, declared righteous, and put in right standing with God.
How many have one comment in there? Heavy. It's a lot of words to say very, very clearly, your works won't get you there. You were designed by God to have good works to do. But it's by faith that the procedure gets done. And it's first believing that Jesus is. That's the number one step. And Jesus inside of you and I, taking us higher than we've ever been before, will give us an ability to believe for the next level of his revelations to the church. How many know that when the Holy Ghost came down in the early parts of the 1900s, many people were excommunicated from different churches and denominations? Amen. Would you put your hand up if you believe that? All right. Not only was it very difficult for the Holy Spirit in the churches, because there was a law applying that they could not be of God and were released from whatever position of authority they were in, and they were cast out. You say, why did this happen? Because God was in charge of his church. Why am I saying this to you? Because I believe that the next move of God is going to be awesome, dramatic, and so overwhelming that if you're not careful, you will also cast out the next people that will be filled with God's Spirit for his purpose and not for your plan or your expectations. So this is a warning. It's a warning that don't use your natural reasoning to identify God, because you never will. I remember in the early part of the 80s, 85, 86, I can't tell you for sure, but the Lord sent Howard Brown to, believe it or not, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Huh? How many remember? What's his first name again?
Rodney
Howard Brown. Okay? I remember going and watching and saying, oh my God, Lord, you are so awesome. And it was just awesome to watch God's Holy Spirit work with this man of God that came, I forgot from what country. Africa? Australia? Yeah. Wherever he came from, he came in obedience, and he came where? Massachusetts. Am I giving you some clues? Am I trying to irritate you to start thinking a little bit differently, maybe? He came and he deposited a gift in this region. And guess what? The church poo-pooed it away and said, it's not God. And I remember getting reprimanded. It can't be God. Well, guess what? God released the anointing down in Florida. And it blossomed in Florida. Then it blossomed in different parts of our country. But you know what? Stubbornness in the body of Christ caused it to die. Here. It should have blossomed here. But who stopped it? The law. What am I doing to you today? Am I picking on you? No, I'm warning you. Don't go by your natural reasoning. Go by your spirit abilities. That's why this church is different. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be a carbon copy of something else, or someone else, or other people. We're supposed to be an evident, visible evident, that Jesus Christ is alive, and that he's changing people, and that he's dramatically bringing people out of darkness into light. And yes, I believe the cities. I believe the cities, with an S, will be transformed. And yes, it might be Marianne's fault, but it's going to be the Holy Ghost inside of Marianne. It could likely be the women, because she represents women, that will have a dramatic impact. You say, us women? Look at your neighbor. Say, each woman is available to God to transform people. Maybe it's our turn as men to support them. Come on, man. Say, it's our turn to support these women, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bring it on, he says. Bring it on. Yes. What am I getting at this morning? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to remind you that the disciples in Mark chapter 16 got a report from the women. See, it hasn't changed. It's not 1980. It's the year the Lord resurrected from the dead. Yeah. And the women came back and they said, he's risen. And the men said, yeah, right, women. Here they go again. Emotional. Oh, yes, they're so emotional. Well, great. Yeah, hit a mark. Should I hit a mark? Why were they emotional? Because Jesus resurrected. You should get emotional when Jesus is resurrected in somebody. You should recognize that he's alive and he's well. And you should get happy about what he's doing inside of you and me. And he's doing it in different people. Now, if he hasn't shaken your tree this week, it might be your turn next week. Okay? He's shaken me 110 times over in multiples of areas. All my expectations that I thought were so holy. Guess what?
They were full of holes.
Yep. And he changed me. And he purposed to push my buttons. So if you've got some buttons that have been pushed, look to the Holy Spirit. Say, make it clear, God. I don't understand, but make it clear. I don't know what you're doing, but I want more.
Amen.
I want to understand your way. I want to be confident that you're doing a work in this house.
Amen.
Meaning your own house, your own heart, your own mind, your own emotions. It's not about them. It's about you and Jesus. It's about him coming alive inside of you. It's about him becoming the part of you that you never knew could be. Amen? It's about what he is actually identifying that have been sitting dormant inside of you. Oh, I'm this, I'm this, and I'm this. It's the natural understanding of who you are. But what about what he said I've already imparted inside of you? A couple of years ago, I'm in Albany, and I'm asking the Lord about what's next. And he's reminding me that many things have been, let's say, revealed, but the fullness has not yet been revealed. And we go out to lunch with Pastor Dan, and as we're walking into the restaurant, Pastor Dan says, I want you to meet my friend. Some of you were there. His friend was an engineer. He built all kinds of things. Okay? And he had just retired, and now he had made plans, because Pastor Dan had a word for him, that he was to be an instrument to connect with I Am Ministries. And he was on his way, I believe it was January or February of that year, to South Africa to build for the Lord. The Lord had actually released him to obey and to go out there and be a man of God to invest and impart in those that didn't know how to do it. And he thought his life was over when his retirement papers came. But God was saying, I'm going to refire you. Instead of being retired, he refired him. And he says, and we sat together having lunch, and he's expounding on how much joy there is in his life. But the year before, all of his expectations had come to a halt. His life was over. His wife had gone home to be with Jesus. Oh my goodness, and I've got nothing to live for. My son is in Chicago, and my daughter's in the Carolinas. And what am I doing in New England, and why am I here? Expectations, expectations, expectations. They need to be burnt up by the fire of God. And so by faith, he went with Pastor Dan to this conference. He met with Pastor Jay, and they found that there was a place for him. So he was heading to his family first, and then he was going to leave, and he says, all my belongings now are 2 suitcases full. And he was full of joy about his future. Why? Because he had a value inside of him that had been hidden for 65 years. He had no idea that God could use him to transform others. So he was full of life, full of expectations, but for the whole year before, he was full of death and hopelessness. What am I doing to you? I'm prodding you not to look with your natural mind about where you are and who you are and what you're all about. Verse 17. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners. Does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God or for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and saw himself and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law of Christ, through the law, Christ died for nothing. How does that apply to your emotions and dreams? Did Christ die to bring you to an awareness of what's inside your spirit? To bring you to an awareness of what has been planned for you, and it's to be like a time-released vitamin. Yes. A time-released vitamin came into Jesus. By the way, when he was in his mother's womb, he had to be kind of quiet, didn't he? And he finally, by the time he got to be 13, he opened up. And he was told to shut up and obey mom and dad. Yes?
Yeah.
And he obeyed for 17 more years because the time release hadn't come yet. I want you to kind of close your Bibles right now. And I want you to put your two hands on your tummy, because that's where your spirit is. That is where the registration of who you are is fully impacted. I want those eyes closed because it's between him and you. That which has been revealed inside of you is for then. It's for the past. That which he is about to release in you is for the future. And that which he's already prepared to be released for this season in your life. Yes, we're coming close to Pentecost. Yes, the day of Pentecost was a crash program for all those who thought they knew what was next. And guess what? He baffled the wise then, didn't he? See, we need to be submissive. We need to let him perform the next level of miracles that he wants out of each and every single one of us. No exceptions. And inside of our very being is the Spirit of the living God. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need the next revelation.
That which has been prepared by you
to be released in this flesh. This is really Christ Jesus inside of me. Coming to fullness of life. And to expound all my expectations. Keep all those that are from you, Lord. And those that are not from you, give me the grace to let them burn.
Give me the grace to let them burn.
Because on the day of Pentecost,
there were tongues of fire
that came. And all of the people of Israel knew that when fire came down, it would burn the sacrifice. Whatever it was, whatever animal it was that was on the altar, God would burn it up. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
So Lord Jesus, whatever's of you, and it is ready to come to life, just like the tulips are coming to life, and all the other flowers, they're coming to life now. That which is needed for this season in my life, I'm ready by choice. And I'm ready by faith to receive the next level of revelation of what is needed for me to release to those that I love and those that I don't understand. Let there be peace in my heart, Lord. And let there be joy. That which is inside of me is ready to go forth with signs and wonders, following every step of the way. Extend your hand, Lord Jesus. Extend your hand through my hand to touch those that are hurting, to touch those that are wounded, to touch those that are helpless and may be full of hurt. Lord Jesus, use my lips, use my voice, use my spirit, man, and use my soul to set the captives free. But it starts with me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I trust you, Lord. It is by faith that you have started with me, and it's by faith that you will finish the work. Amen?
Amen.
The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. I believe that each one of you has received an impartation today of grace and of faith to believe for what you could not receive through any other manner but by him. Understanding his ways, very hard. Understanding his plan, it's very, very difficult. I can tell you that I shared with you a little bit about Sunday night and the young lady that was moved of God, had an open vision of an angel that came to her, and he literally gave her instructions like he did to Mary by that empty church. And that was quite a while back, I would say close to 2 years. And after 2 years of nothing happening, she thought, and so did her husband, we missed God. Then within a week, little pieces to the puzzle began to come in. And she said these words to me. You know, 2 weeks ago, if anybody would have said that this was going to happen tonight and over 40 people would be in my home worshiping God, I would not have believed it. That's 14 days. She says that 7 days of multiples of little pieces came. And it was like a puzzle. She said those words. And of course, that's the words I use. And so was kind of exciting for me, like a puzzle coming together. She says, it came from here, it came from here, it came from here, it came from here, came from here. And they were like little pieces scattered on a table. And all of a sudden, God put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And she knew. She says, and when I said to my husband, is it okay? He had already known it was time. So don't underestimate God's readiness to expound something new in you and to bring to life that which he's prepared inside of you, because his plan is marvelous. His plan is marvelous. Father, this is a work of grace, and it's a work of grace only that will take this house of prayer into the new Pentecost that you've prepared. Lord, we're not done yet. We're just beginning. And every single heart that's here will be used for your glory. And even those that are at home and have had a struggle because they couldn't make it, Father, bless them. Bless Pastor Yvonne, who's out in the West Coast, or actually, western part of Europe. And bless her and her family. And Eugene's family, too, because that's where they're ministering now. And all those that are connected to them. Lord Jesus, we ask for special grace that those that are of commissioning new places, new areas to be giving out the word of the Lord, they will have the grace to carry it out. Doesn't matter how old or how young, just the grace to carry it out. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
I just wanted to share this. I was checking in. We're talking about retirement before. And I was checking in a lady, and I had to ask her for her insurance card. So she gave me her insurance card. She also gave me her Medicare card, or Social Security card, whatever it's called. Anyways, it was like a death sentence that she was giving to me. She said, I have to get this card now, and I just hate it. I just hate it. It's awful. I said, well, don't think of it as an ending to anything. Think of it as a new beginning. But she didn't want to hear that. She just kind of grumbled at me and walked away. You know, but, I mean, I haven't gotten to that point yet. And I know my husband has gotten his card in the mail, but I think it's a transition in our lives, but I like what you said. It's not a retirement. It's a refirement. So I have to remember that.
Yeah. Watching this gentleman come and share with us at the dinner about the joy that had been reestablished in him because he had a purpose for going forward. And you know, sometimes we see a door closing, which means the ending of something. But when a door closes, God opens a
new window.
Yeah, a new door or a new window. Amen?
Amen.
And it's okay. But it's very wise because you see, when you were giving those words of life, they may not have gone in as far as visibly, but you see, that word for her by the Holy Ghost, because see, it's a woman of the Lord that spoke those words. Why is it important that a woman of God speak a word of life to someone?
Because the anointing within her will bring, it's up to the Holy Spirit now to bring life into this other person.
And it might be just an echo that'll come back into this woman. Oh my God, I am getting a new beginning. I couldn't stand the words when she gave them, but...
And there is life in the word that was given.
Yes, there's life. And so you don't know what God will do in a week, 2 days, 4 days. We don't know. In the middle of the night, she could have a dream because of you.
Not me.
Yes, because, well, yes, it is of you. Wait a minute. How many can agree that it's because of her? Because her obedience to release the word that's inside of her. Okay, you had to submit. You had to submit. You had to say, okay, Lord. And if it wasn't inside of you, you could not have given it. If it was a before Christ Peggy that had given that word, what would be the difference? A before Christ. You know what I mean, the before Christ.
No,
when we gave it to her,
you wouldn't have given the word. Thank you, God. So, isn't that awesome? How many had a before Christ experience? A BC experience, yeah, before Christ. Does anybody want a few snapshots of what you were before you? No. Yes, yes.
Maybe aborted more people than we say.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I was one of those Holy Ghost freaks. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I agree with you. Okay, let's bow your heads. Father, we ask that you would just bless each and every one. Anoint their mouths, their hearts, and the words that they speak so that it will bring life to those that are hurting for the glory of our God and the glory of his power and strength to be expounding north, south, east, and west, and all around the cities. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Share some hugs.